The Pew Research Center recently published a number of statistics regarding the changing nature of families today. The report revealed that, shockingly, over 40% of all children born in America today are born out of wedlock. In addition to more unmarried couples raising children, the report also indicated that there are more same-sex couples raising children, more single women having children without a male to help raise them, more people living together without getting married, more couples choosing not to have any children at all. This report clearly indicates that the traditional nuclear family is diminishing. And we know that when the church holds out the ideal of a traditional nuclear family, all too often she is ridiculed as being hurtful or out of touch with contemporary society. The Feast of the Holy Family, which we celebrate today, gives us the opportunity to reflect on aspects of family life that are designed not by culture, but designed intentionally by Almighty God. We're blessed here at the cathedral with so many depictions of the Holy Family, which reveal aspects of the family that are so important. We have our beautiful Fontanini manger scene, and in that representation, along with the stained glass window in the east transept there, we have that beautiful depiction of the first Christmas. In those scenes, we are reminded that this is the family of God first envisioned, and that God used the nuclear family to change the world, to turn the course of human history, all through a faithful mother who accepted God's will, a protective dad who quietly guided his family in faith, and a vulnerable infant who would grow to lead the entire human race from sin and death to forgiveness and salvation. God uses family and wants to change the world through families. The school of the family has the power to teach the world at large the strength of genuine, unconditional human love. And our manger scene reminds us that in God's design for the family, salvation is revealed. Another important aspect of the family, of family as God intended it, can be seen in the stained glass window, two in there, of the presentation where Joseph and Mary are presenting the child Jesus in the temple. They come to the temple to consecrate their son to God. The book of Exodus, which they would have known well, instructs them to consecrate every firstborn male to the Lord. And the book of Leviticus instructs them to bring a sacrifice, which should be a lamb. But if they cannot afford a lamb, they bring two pigeons, which evidently Joseph and Mary could not afford, and we have depicted the two pigeons as their sacrifice, their cultic offering to the Lord. The point is, of that account in the Bible and the depiction of the presentation in our cathedral here, the point is that the Holy Family was deeply religious. I think it's very important to remind ourselves of that fact, especially today when you hear so much about people being spiritual but not religious, as if somehow being religious is out of fashion or somehow not as chic as it is to be spiritual. Well, the Holy Family, we know, were deeply religious, engaged in cultic practices and worship of the Lord. The rhythm of rituals were a part of their lives as faithful Jews. Would we ever hear the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph say, we're spiritual, we're just not religious. No. Catholic families worship together. The Eucharist is the source of our love and the sign of the intimacy to which we are called. And so families are to attend Sunday Mass every week, holy days, and other times that we are able. We also recognize, though, that our families are not perfect. We are fallen people, and we therefore recognize our need for mercy, and thus as a family we regularly go to confession to receive the grace we need to live God's vision of love in our lives and in our homes. The Holy Family reminds us that God intends for His people, it is God's divine will, for families to be religious. We have another image of the Holy Family next to the presentation, which is comes from our Gospel this morning. It's the where Jesus is found in the temple amongst the teachers, and Joseph and Mary are in the background having found them. I've been with parents when they've lost their kids, you know, temporarily, or they're at the fair or something, and, you know, where's Mary? You know, who has her? And just that panic that just comes across a parent that's instantaneous at losing a child. And even if it's 10, 15 seconds, so she's right there. Joseph and Mary had to experience that for a long time, having days of not really knowing where Jesus was. And that scene of them finding Jesus in the temple, I think, teaches us, amongst other things, about the importance of maintaining hope in the midst of difficulty. Mary and Joseph were terrified, and yet God in His goodness worked everything out, which is an important message when suffering touches the lives of our families, when brokenness touches our families, when addictions touch our families, when discord touches our families. We're called to have hope that God in His way will work this out. We also see in that same window, Jesus is there in the midst of all these teachers. He's this boy witnessing to the faith. Again, we in the context of family are called to witness to our faith. And the best witness to faith, as we all know, is not with our mouths and our words, but with our actions and our behaviors. Things like the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy at home and elsewhere. Moving down the line of our windows, the one on the other side of the finding of Jesus in the temple is just a depiction of the Holy Family at work, interestingly enough. Mary is weaving. Joseph is holding an axe. And Jesus is collecting the wood shavings that have fallen to the floor into a piece of cloth. He's cleaning up. I like to point that window out to parents because, you know, when you ask your kids to unload the dishwasher or take out the garbage or mow the lawn and they're, you know, griping about it or not doing it very well, show them that window. Jesus was a little boy who did chores and he didn't gripe about it. That was his contribution to the Holy Family. That window shows us that families are called to intimate communion, which is protected and nourished through things like working together and recognizing the importance of regular family activities such as Sunday dinner or a game night, family prayer, or a technology fast, which allows for one-on-one communication and relationship building. I'll never forget some years ago being at the lake with the lake cabin, and the internet was out. And I and my nieces and nephews were all, you know, didn't have any connection. And I said, what are we going to do? And my niece says, I guess we're going to have to talk with each other. Precisely. These activities can be considered sacred rituals of our domestic churches. We are called to value them over other activities which competes with them. So in short, family comes first. The depictions of the Holy Family in our cathedral remind us that family relationships are the primary vehicle which God uses to perfect and challenge us, to help us become everything that we were created to be. None of our families are perfect. My family is not perfect because I am not perfect. In fact, if you were to look at my immediate family and my large extended family, there would be a lot of those, you would find a lot of those social ills reflected in that Pew Research report. But that doesn't excuse me of striving for the ideal of family life as intended by God. I don't judge people. I'll leave that to God. But by the same token, I am still called to challenge all of us to strive for a deeper holiness in family. This feast of the Holy Family reminds us of the beauty of this institution as designed by Almighty God, an institution which reminds us of the values of unconditional love, hard work, hope, and the practice of religion. As we celebrate this feast once again, we recommit ourselves to imitating these virtues as they were lived out so well in the life of the Holy Family, in Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.